writing something based on, like, identity and stuff, because I don't want my brand to be based in my identity, right? So I was kind of adverse to writing trans stuff for a while, just because it just not the thing that I want to do. I want to be known as a composer, not a trans composer, you know? And it was very similar on my social media, where I would think of really funny jokes about LGBT stuff, or I would think about, like, little ideas or whatever, and I didn't want to flood my regular Instagram with that, because I didn't want that to be, like, the image that I was presenting to my friends and the world and stuff. But I wanted some kind of outlet for it, because I am very funny, and I like to make funny jokes. I was walking through East Van the other day, and I saw a garbage service that was advertising as low-cost junk removal, and I was like, I'm about to save really big on bottom surgery. I didn't know who to share that with. But this is why, that's why I made a TikTok, is so I could have that kind of, just like an outlet. Right, like a way to get it out of my system, and a way to express that to an audience of people who want to be there for that kind of content and don't just, like, know me, you know. It's not like a shame thing. It's just a thing. So my plan with TikTok was to do that and just make, like, dumb videos and make some music stuff, or, like, a little music theory tutorial here or there, like, just, like, some stuff.
Educate the youth
on literally whatever. It was more for me to make things than to have people receive things. But the TikTok algorithm works in mysterious ways, and the second video I ever made went properly TikTok viral. I'd had TikTok for about a week, and that video got, like, 4 million views. And that was super weird and surreal, right? And at this point, I've had TikTok for, like, a month. And I'm not, like, TikTok famous. I have, like, 30,000 followers. But the problem is, every time I try to make stuff that's not, like, LGBT content, they're not into it, because they followed me for. But it's whatever, right? It's not going to stop me from making other kinds of content. But no, that's kind of fun. I enjoy making those videos, and it is proving to be a good outlet, and I'm not sure if I want to promote my music through it, because I feel like I want to cultivate those audiences differently. But I don't know. It's going well. It's kind of fun.
Is your creative process any different for coming up with TikToks than it is for writing a music composition piece?
Oh, I mean, I want to say yes. but the way my brain works is, like, I'm doing the dishes or whatever, and then suddenly an idea exists, and then I have to write it down or it's gone. The difference is that with composition, it takes several weeks to make a piece of music. So if an idea is bad, it won't get released. But TikToks I can knock out in 15 minutes. So a lot, like, I can make bad content all day, baby. It is fun. I used to make movies in high school with, like, my friends, and I would write, like, sketch comedy or whatever, as every 15-year-old boy did.
Yeah, we all did that.
I don't know. The pretentious ones did, Nick. the ones who called movies films and said 2001 was their favorite movie.
Bold claims on both sides.
I hate 2001. Hot takes tonight on CITR. I hate 2001: A Space Odyssey. I think it is a fantastic 30 minutes of a movie, but it's 3 hours long. That's my. I'm not. I will say no more. This is No Nuance November. That's a TikTok trend. I didn't come up with that. I have this problem now where I keep saying TikTok things in my regular life, and no one gets them because the people I hang out with aren't 16-year-olds. I have to Urban Dictionary everything that people comment on my videos. It's unbelievable.
So does it feel like you're entering a space designed for people totally generations removed from you?
Oh my god, yeah. Like, it's like we're all Gen Z. In one of my more popular TikToks, I accidentally said I wasn't Gen Z just because I didn't know what it meant, and no one's pointed it out in the comments yet, but if you want to go watch my TikToks at AbbyGatorK, you can find that and bully me in the comments if you want about how I don't know what Gen Z is. But it's like I go on my For You page, as they call it, every other website, we just call it a feed. And it's like, they use slang that my old brain can't comprehend.
The ripe old age of 20.
I am 20 years old and my back hurts and I don't know what a nene is. And I still think dabbing is funny. And it's really stressful. Like, they do the funny dancing and I don't know when it's ironic. And I don't know if they know when it's ironic. It's a very easy audience to make content for, because it's like, not because they're like sheep to command, but just like it's very clear what they look for in content. So when I know if a joke will land or not when I'm making it. Doesn't stop me from making it. I will make dumb content until the day I die.
Please.
It's all I've ever done. That's all I know how to do. So, no, yeah, definitely I'm generations removed from everybody else, despite only being, like, 2 years older than any of them.
I mean, in the age of TikTok and technology, 2 years is a millennium.
Oh, my God, yeah. And they comment things on my videos with terms that I don't understand, and there's this fun, like, Schrodinger's cat situation where in the time that it takes me to type it into Urban Dictionary, it is both a funny, supportive comment and a transphobic hate comment, and I can't tell which one it is until the term comes up. I don't know, it's kind of fun.
In dealing with comments, though, have you found that it's more diamonds in the rough of hate comments, or are people generally supportive?
On the ones that go viral, I get a lot of hate comments, but the ones that stay relatively small only really show up on people whose algorithm is already geared to that kind of content, or people who are, like, following me. So, like, on the TikTok that was really successful, basically every day I get a notification that someone commented on that video telling me to do something, you know. I don't know, it hurt for like a day, and then all of the comments are the same now, so I'm just numb to it at this point. For the most part, though, people are really cool or funny or just sharing incorrect information. I have one TikTok where I'm dancing to the song Tints by Anderson .Paak. But he doesn't really pronounce the N in Tints, and I'm taking hormones at the time, so you can see where the punchline is. thank you, I'm kind of a comedian. And, like, there's, like, a comment on there where someone's like, you know you're supposed to let them dissolve under your tongue, right? And it's like, that's just not true. Like, I don't know where you think this is coming from. I've been taking these for months. My endocrinologist told me how to take... Like, and at that point, I'm getting gaslit by a 14-year-old living in the southern United States who just doesn't know what they're talking about. It's the same on Reddit, though. Like, I'll ask a question on the trans information subreddit, and I'll get, like, 12 answers that all tell me I'm dying, and I'll email my endocrinologist, and he's like, oh, no, that's fine. Just because no one knows what they're talking about. It's a sidebar. It's not important. The internet is full of idiots, and the day that I learned that, I became a happier person. The comments that I really love are, like, 1% of them or whatever, and it's, like, people who feel inspired by my content, or my content helps them, like, feel better about their identity, or my content helps them, like, just, like, cope with stuff. Because my content is not for a cis audience. Like, I have a lot of cis people who follow me, and they're welcome to come along, but ultimately I'm making the content for trans and gender non-conforming, non-binary folks to just kind of, like, have a space where we can laugh at ourselves, you know? I feel like there's this stereotype of trans people getting really offended. Like, the phrase, did you just assume my gender? No one has ever said that who's not in the alt-right. But that's definitely this pervasive stereotype, and I think it's important to find unproblematic, mature ways to laugh about the situation, because it can feel really serious, right? And that's really scary and daunting. And if I can help a person see me being, like, a functioning adult who can not even just, like, find humor in, but continue to be a person despite transitioning and not just turning into, like, a stereotype and not doing, like, a Blair White, I need cis approval method of doing that, right? I think that that's really valuable. One of the things that stopped me from transitioning for a long time was, like, all of the content that I would see from creators was, like, exclusively trans content. And I'm like, I don't want this to be my identity. Like I want to still have a personality. I want to be a musician. I want to be, like, all of these different things. I don't want this to be, like, the main thing that I'm like, known for. And a lot of the stuff that was out there was hard to see that. So I like being able to just make whatever comes to my head on TikTok, whether it's trans or not, because somebody who comes there for trans content will also just see me playing piano or making an unrelated joke or whatever, and, like, they can see that I'm a three-dimensional person. And then if I can help erase that fear from them, if they have the same anxieties that I did, that's, I think, very valuable. And those are my favorite comments, is people who are like, hey, this helped me a lot with dealing with whatever, or I do a mix of my girl voice and my regular voice in my TikToks, just because it's part of the process, and you shouldn't feel bad about that, you know? Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a lot to say about it, I guess.
Well, what you do have to say is very, very, very eloquent and succinct and kind and steeped in a level of understanding and generosity.
Stop.
That is very, very palpable, and I am slightly tearing up again.
Don't you cry. No, child, no cry. Excuse me.
No, child.
Yeah, if we're doing an outro, we shouldn't put it on the ground, because that's going to fuck up the recording. I think that's fine. So are we doing an outro now?
I think so. I don't know what to do for an outro, but
it's usually just like a
thing. This has been prime content. I don't listen to podcasts, so...
I'm so uncultured. You shouldn't have this job.
Well, because have I told you the story about how I got this job?
Let's do an outro and then tell me the story, okay, so that we can stay in character.
Okay.
Okay. Just, it's like a, hey, so thanks for, I think that's the end of our show, but thanks for coming on.
Well, I think that's all that we have time for. Once again, this has been Abigail K., of UBC's wonderful Faculty of Music Composition. Thank you so much for spending your time with me today.
Thank you so much for allowing me to spend it with you.
And thank you once again for sharing your words and your story. It was so, so incredibly brave and kind of you to stand, well, sit in front of this mic today and share your journey.
Thank you very much. I am glad that I had the opportunity to do it, and I hope that those of you listening at home had a good time hearing me ramble on about it.
And if you'd like to hear more of her non-ramblings and incredible music pieces or TikToks, Abby, for your final and most shameless self-promotion, where can our listeners find you?
If you want to just hear my music, find me on abigailkay.bandcamp.com. And for more, like, frequent content that isn't just finished songs, find me on abkmusician at Instagram. I guess instagram.com at...
Is Instagram a .com?
I literally don't know how to plug an Instagram, but if you go to your Instagram machine, and I am 900 years old, if you go to Instagram and you type in abkmusician, I should come up, and I post things there sometimes. It's kind of fun.
And last but not least, if you're under the age of 16 and therefore are allowed to download TikTok, where can they find you, Abby?
I don't even know how to spell my handle. I don't use my TikTok. I didn't intend for it to take off. Let me figure out how many B's and Y's are in it. Okay, it's Abby Gator K. It's ABBIGATORKAYY. So, I mean, yeah, go check that out if you're into bad content.
Thank you all once again. to our listeners, to our wonderful interviewee, and this has been CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded ancestral land of the Hunkanetum-speaking Musqueam Nation. This has been Nick Tony, your spoken word executive, conducting the interview today. Take care, everyone.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra Siam, Nisiam, Nisiaya,
Anthasiakuya, Talitin, Homasqueam, Mustayo. Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Hi everyone, my name is Alistair Young. I am a fifth year student studying commerce with a marketing major at the UBC Sauder School of Business. I am part of the student executive at CITR 101.9/Discorder. And as part of the 24 hours of student power, I will be interviewing three students or alumni who have successfully created their own podcasts. My hope is that this interview will inspire you to start your own podcast and tell your story on this growing and popular medium. But before I start, I would like to acknowledge that although I and the interviewees are dispersed throughout Vancouver and British Columbia, CITR is gathered on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. So why don't we start by introducing ourselves?
I can go first.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Nick, and I recently graduated from UBC Sauder with a double specialization in HR and accounting. And I guess, okay, now I'm working in HR at Arteryx. And one thing that I wanted to do as a side project was start my own podcast. And I guess we'll talk about it a little bit later, but the reason why I started this podcast was, you know, during quarantine and after graduation, reflecting on my time, I thought like there could be a platform for us to kind of bring people together, like friends, mentors, to kind of talk more in depth about certain topics. And that's why I wanted to start a podcast myself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Nick. And what was the name of your podcast again?
Oh, yeah. So the podcast is called It's Time for Recess. And I'll tell you a bit more about why I named it that later. But
Yeah, for sure. Meg, why don't you go next?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks so much for inviting me, Alistair. It's such an honor. My name is Meg, and I'm a fifth year student at UBC, and I'm also studying business, and I am finishing up my major in marketing, so I'll be graduating next year. And a little bit about me is I'm really driven to do creative things, so I've always been a very creative person all my life, so the podcast project was kind of stemming from that, along with my passion for kind of bringing people together and sharing meaningful conversations. And I'll talk a little bit about my podcast. So the podcast is called I'm in My 20s, and it's basically documenting the entire 20-somethings experience, where I have solo talks as well as invite some of my friends and other 20-somethings to cover all these topics that 20-somethings are kind of going through, such as personal finance, traveling, relationships, school, career, personal development, all of that. And so it's been a really rewarding journey so far, and I look forward to graduating next year and kind of taking more of my creative and entrepreneurial pursuits full time.
All right. Very, very cool. And Jenna, what about yourself?
Right. So my name is Jenna, as you guys know, and I am a fourth year student specializing in accounting and concentrating in business analytics at Sauder also. So in life, I value three main things, and they are passion, purpose, and perspective. And these in turn are also the three guiding elements that govern the endeavors that I take on, with one of them being my podcast called Hey Jen. I will dive into a bit more detail about it later and why I decided to start it. But overall, you can say that I'm someone who loves learning more about people, I love getting to know new insights and giving advice to peers where I can, with the hope of allowing them to finish the conversation stronger and to be the best version of themselves.
That's awesome. Well, I can tell you that you guys really thought about what you guys were going to create before you started creating it. And that's totally fair. That is a very true statement, because when you create something, I feel that everyone wants to create something and do their best at it. So why don't we touch on what inspired you to create your own podcast? I know Nick covered it a little bit in saying that, like, giving himself and his mentors and his friends like a voice, but why don't you guys go ahead and touch on that?
Yeah, for sure. I can talk. So this kind of came as inspiration. It was kind of a 3 a.m. inspiration. I don't know if you guys ever get that, but kind of before you fall asleep at night, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., sun's almost rising, and you suddenly get a really, really great idea, and you just can't sleep, and you're just so excited to execute it. So my podcast idea kind of came in the 3 a.m. hours, and this was actually fall of 2019 when I came up with that idea. End of summer, fall-ish, and I didn't get the chance to execute it until this year. And so I guess what inspired it was this year in February, I actually just turned 22. So the moment I turned 22, it's kind of like all the stars kind of aligned like that. So the timeline, I had this idea last year, this year, February turned 22. Right after I turned 22, COVID hit, so we were in quarantine. So after I turned 22, I had this entire crisis, like, wow, I'm already 22, this is crazy, I'm kind of almost reaching my mid-20s and I don't really know what I'm doing. And I've had a lot of really, I guess, interesting conversations with my friends and peers about this age in our 20s where we're figuring so many different things out. It's like the whole world is our oyster, and the time in our 20s is just such a transformative period in our lives. And so I turned 22 and then COVID hit. So of course I had the opportunity to finally put my vision into action, and that's how all the pieces kind of fell together. And that's how I came to create my podcast, all about the 20-somethings experience.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Jenna, why don't you touch on a little bit on what gave you that inspiration to start?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I would say that there are actually two parts to it. So the first part is attributed to when everything moved online because of COVID, and it happened in the middle of the semester. So then given the sudden announcement, I know that a lot of my peers struggled with adapting, and more so, they were somewhat concerned about not being able to live the typical university experience of sitting in a lecture hall. And then, of course, for those who lived on campus and were far away from home, I knew that they struggled from homesickness, not being able to focus with online lectures. And overall, they felt very lost. And I knew that at a time like this, at a time where everything is changing, so many things are uncertain, that they would benefit from having a voice to listen to and somebody who could speak to them as if they understand. And on a separate occasion, actually, which is the second part, I met up with a friend over the summer. And yes, we were seated 6 feet apart, in case you were wondering, who was actually in her first year of university. Gotta be safe. And what I learned from our conversation is that as a recent high school graduate, it was really rough to have to navigate the stress of getting into university, keeping your offer of admission, navigating changing school environments where people change, you have to stay on top of different activities, and then not being able to have a graduation ceremony or the prom that you've longed after. And then from just speaking to her and sharing some perspective, she actually told me that what I had to say to her were words that she needed to hear. And how that stemmed was that what I said were words that I wished I had heard when I was in her position. So then if you take these two parts together into consideration, my podcast, Hey Jen, was actually created with the goal of speaking to the listener as if I was a sister and a friend, so that I could give them words of comfort to listen to and help share different strategies that I found to be very helpful in terms of self-development, staying resilient in difficult times, and then allowing them to feel more reassured when they finish an episode. And then it can also help them feel more powerful as well. So that's my story.
I was just gonna say, like, listening to what Meg and Jenna said, like, I also had those, like, 3 a.m. kind of, like, you know, thoughts where, you know, one idea that was really fascinating to me was maybe starting some kind of talk show to bring people together from different backgrounds and talk about topics, right, that we might not necessarily have time or have that commitment to talk about all the time. And that kind of inspired my way of doing a podcast, which is I bring groups of people, like 2 to 4 people, onto the podcast to talk at the same time rather than one-on-one. That's the style I chose. And the recess theme that I talked about for my podcast, It's Time for Recess, came about when I was reflecting back on how we're so busy with our lives as adults, and we don't always have time to do the things we did in our childhood, which is recess, right? So in a sense, the podcast is kind of like a recess for adults, where, you know, this group of, you know, 3 to 4 people that I bring onto the podcast, we can have that deeper conversation and set aside time to kind of talk about topics in a deeper level that we might not have had time to talk about when we're going through the busy lives of a university student, right? Yeah. So, yeah, that was kind of what inspired my podcast theme. And, you know, we know everyone's names, you know, who are our friends and mentors, but we don't always know the stories behind them, right? So having that platform to kind of talk through these experiences and share these experiences with one another, and maybe people who are listening might connect with as well. That's kind of what inspired my podcast.
Yeah, yeah, no, I definitely agree. And it seems like there's a unifying theme among all your podcasts. And I think in the larger grand scale of things, like many podcasts are about helping people through what they're going through or what they might be going through by sharing your own experiences and trying to inspire other people to do what they have to do or be as creative as they can. So on a lighter note, are there any podcasts that you guys listen to that you feel inspire your content?
Yes, definitely.
Megs, I'm in my 20s.
Thank you, Nick. I listen to your podcast as well. I listen to yours too, Jenna. Yeah, like you guys said, I love listening to my peers' podcast. Big fan. I love it when people pursue their passion and just go for it. And in terms of my other favorite podcasts, I'm not sure if you guys have listened to these ones, but I'm a big fan of the Tim Ferriss Show. Do you guys know that one?
Can't say I'm familiar, but
yeah, no.
Yeah. Right. So I listened to the Tim Ferriss Show. He basically brings on like world-class, like top like performers, well, and top business people, entrepreneurs, etc., to kind of like break down what they do and how they work. And it's just really fascinating. And I also listened to the Matt Diavella's podcast called The Ground Up Show. It's all about people starting from scratch and building basically a successful business or a dream life, something like that. And so, yeah, those are the ones that I found were my favorites.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Jenna and Nick?
Yeah, I can go. So there are 2 podcasts that are always on my listen list, and it would be The Brendan Show as the first one. This one was actually one that I listened to a lot back before everything moved online. I would listen to it on my commutes to school. And basically it talks about science-backed strategies that you can employ to improve your performance at work, in life, and then to have more meaningful relationships with those around you. And the second one that I really love is Asian Boss Girl. So then this one is actually about the Asian American girl's story and then how they navigated life, different situations. And ultimately what I really love about it is it was really nice being able to listen more to how these people were able to find their true passion, find their calling. And on one particular episode where they actually featured Simu Liu, it was really cool to learn about how
I listened to that.
Oh yeah, I love that episode.
Loved it.
Yes. It was basically about how he pivoted from a career in accounting to a career in acting. And I found it to be super powerful because I know that coming from a business school background, it's definitely not something that you hear about a lot. But then to hear that he took a leap of faith and did that because he wanted to do it for himself, it definitely motivated me a lot to, you know, listen to what I wanted instead of conforming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Nick, why don't you go ahead?
All right. To be quite honest, I don't listen to many podcasts. <That's> but I do listen to my friends' podcasts, those who started their own. And Meg's podcast, I'm in my 20s. I'm promote for you, Meg. Some of the episodes are really impactful, and she talks with, you know, certain friends. For example, in one of the episodes, she was talking to one of her friends who kind of switched careers into acting, kind of left Darius, right, Meg?
Yes.
So he left, you know, university, dropped out and went into acting and kind of pursued his passion, and that was kind of pretty inspiring as well. So listening to, you know, young adults who are going through the same things we're going through and seeing their perspectives, I think that was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I think a big part of that is because we were all university students, and I think something that I'm learning and I've learned over the past 5 years is the quality of education is really high, especially at UBC, not because necessarily because of the content and the faculty, although the faculty are great, but it's about learning about what other people are saying and other people's perspectives on things, which are really impactful for me and really challenged me to think outside of the realms that I had grown up in. So my favorite podcast is The Daily by the New York Times, which is a very, very basic podcast. So like, it covers like everyday political news and stuff like that, especially in the US. I did want to touch on who you feel your podcast is best targeted towards, and how do you make that decision? I know, like, talking about it now, it seems very clear that it's targeted towards people in their 20s, but I wanted to give you guys a moment to speak on that.
Yeah, I would say that my podcast is targeted towards people just like me, because I felt very confused and I'm still trying to figure it out. So I think my podcast is not necessarily a solution for people, but rather a documentation of the journey to provide some kind of relatability as well as inspiration here and there, just for people going along the exact same journey as myself.
Yeah, I would echo that as well. Like young adults, I would say, who are kind of going through the same things as, you know, we might be going through, because most of the guests that I bring onto my podcast are people around my age. And we talk about topics that hopefully are relatable to many, you know, young adults who are going through, you know, graduation, or they're going through mental health stories and experiences, or talking about their university, you know, journey. So a lot of those topics, I think, are relatable to young adults.
And Jenna?
Yeah, for me personally, I'd say about the same. It would also be young adults, like university students, maybe working professionals who are just graduated, as well as some high school students as well. So pretty much anyone who would find the content helpful and meaningful. So the idea behind it is, the reason why I targeted this group is because I noticed that with many different expectations going on, with always hustling and with the drive to be great at what you do, and then that's great, but then in times of struggles, in times of hardship, we have a tendency of asking, is that normal? Is it normal for me to feel this way? How do I deal with it? And then so that was the overall goal, to give them something to listen to, so that when they finish listening, they will be inclined to say, oh yeah, it's totally normal. People have gone through it before. And now that I have listened to it, I feel more inclined to tackle it.
Yeah, and just as an extension of that, how do you guys decide what topic to talk about for your podcast when you're trying to plan out your next episode? How do you guys make that decision of, oh, today I'm going to talk about these things versus this other stuff?
The way that I decide is actually extremely random and ad hoc. It actually just comes from random inspiration. If I have a conversation with a friend and an idea comes up, I'll be like, hey, that would make an excellent episode. Or sometimes my friends will be like, hey, Meg, have you talked about this topic before? And I also just look around on social media, of course. I'm aware of what people care about, what people post about, what people are confused about or lost about. And sometimes, only occasionally, if I do need an extra boost of inspiration, I will go online and do some research, like what do 20-somethings care about, read some forums. But overall, I just collect inspiration from any aspect of my life.
Gotcha. And Nick, how do you plan what topics you're going to talk about?
Yeah, for sure. Kind of like Meg, but in a sense, what I start with is always, who am I bringing on to the podcast? So, for example, I might reach out to a group of friends who I've had experiences with in a particular class or in a particular, you know, club, and we might talk about that. So I think starting off with who my guests are, and then together, I like to collectively, you know, work with the guests to kind of decide on the topic that we feel passionate about as a group. And then those are the themes that we talk about, because I feel like the guests are so important to a podcast, right? And you want to pick topics that the guests are passionate about and they have many things to say about. So that's how I decide on what topics I do. And it turns out because the guests are around my age and we've gone through similar experiences, those topics that we choose do tend to be really relevant to the listeners out there. So, yeah.
Right. And Jenna?
Yeah, so I would say that even though the Hey Jen podcast is a pretty new endeavor, I usually decide on content based on what I think people need to hear at this time, what I personally struggled with at certain points, how I've gotten over it, and then what other people struggle with based on the conversations that I've had and overall based on what I hear echoed throughout different situations. And then if I want to probe further and look into a particular issue or something in particular, I would think about how important it is and then what goes into it, just to make sure that the content is able to be relatable, but it's also accurate.
Gotcha. All right. So I think we're just going to pause for an ad break.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Hello everyone, my name is Alistair and I'm part of the student executive at CITR 101.9 FM. If you're just tuning in, as part of the 24 Hours of Student Power, for my show, I'm interviewing three UBC alumni and students who have successfully created their own podcast. Their names are Meg, Nick, and Jenna. In this next section, I'm going to touch on how 2020 has affected podcasting content and how the students research their interviewees. All right, so if it has, how has 2020 affected the content of your podcast, and how have things been different for you than they would have been if there was no pandemic?
I guess I can speak for the three of us that the three of us all started our podcast actually this year. So we don't know what it was like to actually have a podcast before 2020. But for my personal experience, like I mentioned earlier in this interview, this was actually a big opportunity, this whole quarantine and having to stay at home and stay isolated. I found myself with a lot more free time. Regularly, I would be going to work 9 to 5 and usually having things after work and not having time to focus on myself and my passions. And I think, in essence, 2020 was almost a blessing in disguise for me because I had so much time for self-reflection and realizing that I could put my passion into action. And now I actually do have the time and the resources to be able to do so. And so it all kind of added up for me. And with the entire thing of things shifting to online because we have to physically distance from each other has actually made the podcasting world almost easier, because now that everything's online, we're able to transcend any sort of geographical boundaries. And what I mean by that is that I've been able to join a lot of podcast communities and actually meet people from all around the world. So I've met podcasters from the UK, Australia, in Europe, in America, all over the States, and across Canada, like Toronto. And it has just been really rewarding. Whereas if things weren't all online, I wonder how that would play out differently. And in terms of interviews, I've had to conduct all of my interviews remotely, and I do that through Zencaster, so I kind of have the video and the audio, and we just record and we can see each other and chat, and it doesn't feel too different from in-person conversations, although it is a bit distant. So I do hope that if things do go back to normal next year, that I will be able to record in-person conversations. And besides the entire COVID and quarantine situation, I do know that, you know, 2020 has also faced a lot of changes in terms of the space of activism, social justice, etc., with the Black Lives Matter movement and a lot of political things going around. And so we always have to adjust our content to make sure that we are reflecting, you know, things that are good for our audience to see and not being biased towards one side, not being ignorant towards issues. So for example, when the Black Lives Matter week happened, I had to just pause the episode I was going to release on the Tuesday and kind of just use my platform to do some research and see how I could instead use my platform to share resources and links to my audience that would be helpful for educating them about the movement. So I think 2020 has just taught me personally that it's really important to be able to adapt to changes, and a lot of things are unexpected, but that's basically how I've been navigating that change.
Gotcha. Very cool. I love the bit where you had to adjust your content based on what was going on in the world. And I think being adaptable is incredibly important in any media space. I also thought it was really cool how you were able to meet up with podcasting communities in England and in the East Coast and in the US and stuff like that. That's something that I wouldn't have thought. Jenna and Nick, do you want to touch on how 2020 has affected your podcasting?
Yep, I can go ahead. So I would say, even though I haven't conducted interviews yet, to be honest, still figuring out the whole technology behind it, I would say that an important part is being able to contextualize for me personally. In particular, I know that I talk about coping with different situations, personal strategies for, let's say, effectively dealing with mental health and things along the lines of that. It's important that I take into consideration that what I'm saying needs to be framed in a way that's consistent with what the 2020 landscape looks like, instead of portraying it as something that's more reflective of, let's say, 2018 or 2019. Mm-hmm. So then understanding when I am operating and how I can best convey that in a way that would be useful to the listeners. And another important thing is, with 2020 and with social distancing requirements, it's also important that I frame it so that I talk more about doing things in an online setting, navigating situations where I guess people have to stay at home more often, instead of saying, oh yeah, you can look forward to a social gathering, just so I don't accidentally promote that.
Yeah.
I think touching on what Meg said about the geographical boundaries that are broken because of remote, you know, interviews, I think that was a really great benefit for me, because as I mentioned earlier, a lot of my episodes are in groups rather than one-on-one. And there's one group of friends who I was interviewing with where every person was living in a different time zone. And that would not have been possible if we had to do it physically, right? There was one in Mexico, there was one in New York, there was one in Calgary, and we were able to come together to have this conversation. I think that was a very valuable part of doing a podcast remotely. And that came about because of COVID. Another thing is COVID and the self-isolation and social distancing and all those things kind of made me appreciate the value of relationships that we have with friends and stuff, which prompted me to start a podcast and bring them back on to reconnect with them on these topics. Because I think sometimes we take for granted when we see them every day, right? And now that we don't get to see a lot of people every day that when we used to, the podcast has definitely been a platform to kind of bring them together and reconnect. And I think that was a really good experience. In terms of the topics that we talk about, I try to incorporate as much current events into the discussions that we have. For example, mental health and how that is affected during the COVID situation with all the isolation. And also Black Lives Matter. I brought one of my friends from my childhood who is part of the Black community, and we kind of talked through his perspective and experiences And also graduating from university at a time like this, we also talked with some of my friends who are graduating at the same time I am, to talk about how we feel about, you know, going into a job market that's so uncertain. So we try to bring these conversations that are affecting people, you know, that I know, and many people outside who are listening, to bring these perspectives into light and, you know, share them and say that, you know, you listening out there, you're not the only person who's experiencing this. We are also experiencing it, and this is how we're going through it, or this is how we're processing it. So I think that has really been a very impactful part of the podcasting experience.
Gotcha. But I know I said 2020 as a blanket statement, but it's kind of weird, because really when we take into January 1st of 2021 really is just another day. And I think we just use 2020 to say, like, oh, all the bad things that have happened this year. But even things like social justice and making sure that we have an equal and fair environment around us, these things take a long time to change. And I think with you guys, the more that we speak about it and the more that you share it on your platforms and media, the more that we can start affecting that change. And on that note, Nick, I know you touched on how you brought your friend who's Black in for an interview. How do you guys prepare for your interviews?
I guess I could start first since. So I mentioned before that I bring a group of people together for one episode, and I like to involve my guest in the planning of what we talk about. So not only do we talk about, you know, what are the central themes you want to touch, but also, you know, I allow every guest who comes on, I think Meg knows this because she was on my podcast as well.
Yes.
An opportunity to list out a few points that they want to share about the topic. And I try to incorporate that into the outline so that, you know, there's an opportunity for everyone to voice their stories and their perspectives as we're talking. And I know which ones to, you know, guide them through if the conversation steers another way. Try to get the guests as comfortable as they can be so that we can have those genuine, deeper conversations that we might have, you know, at recess or on our breaks, right? But this time, you know, since it's being recorded and a lot of them haven't been on a podcast before, definitely setting the mood there beforehand is definitely important so that we can have these conversations.
Gotcha. Meg?
Yeah, I like what Nick said about just getting the guests comfortable with the environment, because some of my guests do get nervous about this as well. So I just try to warm them up. And for me, most of my season one and part of season two were actually recorded with most of my actually close friends. So we have very, very easy conversations. And when they're not nervous, we kind of just decide, hey, like maybe we should just go with the flow and see where our conversation goes. And in retrospect, those have been some of the actually best episodes when we don't have to follow a set structure and we just kind of go wherever the conversation flows. But I also do have guests who I only had maybe one or two conversations with in the past and just felt they could share something. And in that case, we would kind of just plan ahead. And if they want, I would send them a set of questions and they would tell me what they want to talk about just to make sure that I can kind of steer the conversation in the same way. And very similar to Nick, I just really work very closely with my guests to see whatever structure that they're comfortable with and just also give them a very clear set of expectations and make sure any questions are answered before we start recording so that they don't have any surprises in the middle. So yeah.
And Jenna, I know you spoke about not necessarily having done interviews before, but how do you prepare for an episode of your podcast?
Well, for me personally, something that I like to do is actually bullet point out a list of things that I would want to talk about. So then, to be honest, I wish I could just go scriptless and not have to rely on anything and see where my thoughts go, but then that is probably going to end up in a very specific part. So then what I do is just map out overall what I want to talk about and then ensuring that each point ties back to the overall theme and focus of the episode.
Kind of like going down a rabbit hole.
Honestly,
honestly, that has happened to me as well before, going down the rabbit hole. So after that, I kind of tell my guests, okay, we can go, you know, we can go with the flow, but we have to stay on topic. So that's a great point.
Well, for me, like if I were to interview like someone who I've never met before, for example, I feel like the process for me would be to like do a little bit of research on them, draft a list of questions, and then the day before we record, ideally like ask them if they would like to have a drink with me at the bar, just so that we can get a little bit of chemistry going beforehand. I feel like that would be the best tactic for me, to be honest.
Good tactic.
Anyway, so on a related note, how much research goes into your podcast episodes and your interviews?
For me, it would depend a lot on which topic. And since my podcast is about documenting the 20-somethings experience, not a lot of actual research goes into it because most of the conversation actually stems from my personal experiences and the guest's personal experiences. So all the information is from personal life experiences. However, if I do episodes that are more, I guess, research-based. For example, I did an episode about conscious consumerism, minimalism, activism with Katie Ho. And so that's a topic that would require some more research. So in that case, I did do a little bit of research just to see what questions I could ask Katie so that I get the best and most useful information from her to inform my audience the correct way.
Mm-hmm. Nick or Jenna, would you like to touch on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my podcast is also about, you know, experiences that my guests have, you know, gone through, or knowledge that they have acquired through their experiences, whether it's about mental health resources or the such. So I do kind of rely on guests and their own experiences bringing their knowledge to this podcast. So I don't do as much research as I probably need to. But I try to, in terms of researching who my guests are, I think I know them well enough, since they are my friends and mentors, that I don't need to do as much research on them. But I try to get up to date on what they're currently, you know, passionate about, what they're currently doing, so that it can be relevant to the conversation. But other than that, I don't do much specific research on the topic.
Right. Jenna?
Yeah, like mine is pretty similar, since a lot of my content so far is based on personal experience and what I would personally say if I had the opportunity to sit down and speak to a friend. So it isn't super research intensive. But for one episode in particular, the second one, I did do a bit of research on the growth and fixed mindset just by referencing who the psychologist was that originally coined those terms and founded the research, just so I give some context about it, and I'm also giving credit where it is due, in a sense.
Right. And this one's a little bit of a curveball question, but have you guys ever said something in your podcast where you felt like, oh, I'm not too sure if that's correct? And how do you deal with that situation if you guys have had that situation happen?
Edit it out.
Yeah, that is the beauty of the podcasting. And if you use the anchor tool, is that you can actually edit and go back and refine things. So mm-hmm. I haven't necessarily said things that were factually wrong, but I have said things that I wish I had worded differently, or I had pronounced a word completely wrong. It happens. And in that case, I would kind of go back, and sometimes I would do an insert and be like, hey, this is Meg from the future editing this. Just want to pop by and add a note here just to clarify this point. So that's what I do.
Gotcha.
Things like sensitive topics, I think, are things that I'm kind of careful about. Things yep. like when you're talking about Black Lives Matter, when you're talking about mental health, when you're talking about, for example, I did a little bit on Solder Unspoken and talking about discrimination at Solder. Right. You know, things like that can be sensitive to different people. And I try to my best to, you know, be politically correct and also say things in a very, you know, sensitive way, or understand sensitivities of different people. But sometimes, you know, when the conversation just rolls, you know, just say things with your friends as if it was a, you know, conversation with your friends. And when I look back, you know, there's some areas where you might need a little bit more explanation of why we might have said something. So I might add a few like ad libs here and there, to clarify some things that we might have said that may not make sense if you're just listening into it without context. So adding that context, I think, is very important. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's very fair. We're all just human, and you know, we're learning as well constantly. And I think for sensitive topics especially, it's okay to make a mistake. I think if your heart is in the right place, and again, like with the beauty of post and also being able to add a little bit of context, I think any mistake is forgivable. All right, I think we're going to an ad break.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial, open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
Red Cap Records is an amazing artist-owned and operated record store. Shop from their diverse online music collection and get free shipping within Vancouver and the Lower Mainland with the purchase of two or more LPs. If you would like to further support them through the evolving COVID-19 crisis, you can do so by buying a gift card to use at a later date. Visit www.redcat.ca for more information.
Hello everyone, my name is Alistair and I'm part of the student executive at CITR 101.9 FM. If you're just joining us, as part of my show for the 24 Hours of Student Power, I'm interviewing three UBC students and alumni who have successfully created their own podcasts. Their names are Meg, Nick, and Jenna. For this next part, I was curious what the students had learned in their journey of podcasting so far. What life lessons have they picked up on? And how other people can get started podcasting themselves. Right, so Nick, Meg, and Jenna, what are some of the life lessons you've learned when creating your podcast?
That is a really big question, Alistair. Thanks for asking. Life lessons. I think I have learned so many life lessons just from having conversations with people and learning from them. But I think me personally, being the one person who is having all these conversations with people, the biggest life lesson is to listen more. I think everyone has something important to say and something important to share, no matter if you're listening to a podcast or if it's about your family or your friends or teachers or even strangers, the internet, anyone around you. Kind of just stay open-minded to everyone and their perspectives and what kind of life experience they have to say. Don't be so quick to judge people from the surface and from one meetup. Always try to like dig deeper and understand people and their perspectives. I think just interviewing so many people, some of these people on my podcast, for example, were old friends that I only knew briefly from high school that I never really had the chance to know on a deeper level. And just having deeper conversations with them has shown me just how multifaceted people really are. So I would say the life lessons, just listen more and be open-minded.
Mm-hmm. And Nick or Jenna?
Yeah, I think I echo that. One thing I learned is like the guests have their own experiences and these are stories that aren't for you to tell, it's for them to tell, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's only so much that you can prepare for your episodes, right? But there's also, you also have to adapt to make sure that you incorporate, you know, what things they want to say, things they want to talk about, right? Because they have stories that are unique to them and, you know, or might be different from you, and that might not necessarily fit into the outline that you drafted for the podcast. So allowing some room for flexibility and, you know, adapting your questions to what the conversation is currently, you know, going along as. So I think that was a very big lesson, like being adaptable, being flexible, and understanding that, you know, you don't have to always comment on things or add on to someone's stories because they have different experiences and that might be different from you. Another thing is consistency is so important, and making sure you're following a consistent schedule is more important than over-committing to the amount of content that you're going to promote and not being able to follow through. So I think for me, I knew that a weekly new episode was not for me, so I scheduled it for, you know, every 2 to 3 weeks I will have a new episode. So I think that consistency piece was really important.
Gotcha. And Jenna?
Yeah, like I definitely fully agree with what both Meg and Nick said. For me personally, I'd say one key piece of learning or a takeaway that I got from creating my podcast is that everyone was given a voice for a reason. So then what you have to say is unique and meaningful because you yourself have had unique experiences and perspectives and insights that are shaped by your own experiences and ones that cannot be compared to others exactly. So it really amplified the importance of not letting your voice be silenced just because there are different ideas out there and because you have the need to compare. And the second thing is being confident in what you have to offer and what you have to deliver, but then not expecting everybody to like it. This one's pretty powerful, I would say, because approval was something that I struggled with a lot growing up. So then starting my podcast was a bit of a personal challenge that I took on. And now my perspective is that with each episode, I will make somebody's day a little better. And then I might pick up new listeners along the way, but then others might say, maybe that's not really for me. And then they might switch. So then taking constructive feedback, understanding that options exist, and then still being able to smile and do you best.
Yeah. And I definitely agree with